Hi, I'm Alex Roman, executive editor for Metro Magazine, and welcome to Metrospectives. My guest today is U.S. President of Alstom, Michael Carolay. Michael joins me today to discuss what it's like taking over a company after the Bombardier acquisition and during COVID, how the company is rebranding following the acquisition of Bombardier, and also how the company is focusing on sustainability and building its new products moving forward. Thanks for joining me. If you like us, join our socials, and we hope to talk to you soon. Michael, thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
Hi, Alex. Great being with you. Thanks a lot for having me today.
Great. And where are you based out of, Michael?
I'm based out of the Montreal office of Alstom.
That's
where we moved our headquarters after the acquisition of Bombardier.
Great. And I understand you've been kind of on the job as a president of the U.S. for Alstom for about a year. Can you reflect on that year and talk about a little bit of the dynamics, you know, being on the kind of the back end of the Bombardier acquisition?
Yes, sure. Yeah, you're right. It's already been more than a year, actually. And I took over, actually, as the Americas president. So I have responsibility for the whole of North America and Latin America as well, as we decided as Alstom to create to create one big region covering the whole landscape. I came to the industry from many years in a different business, really from more geared toward the energy. Okay. But I found an industry which I found really interesting and fascinating. It's first of all, as an industry, I found really passionate people. The purpose of what we're doing here really about enabling mobility of people at a lower expense on environment. This is something that gets people really excited. So I really appreciated that side when I joined. I obviously found very passionate teams, a lot of expertise in the Alstom and Bombardier legacies, and customers who really are committed to their mission. So really, I found the environment really really positive, and I'm very optimistic about both what this industry can bring to the region and then what role we can play as the new Alstom in this landscape.
Right. And you know, can you talk a little bit about maybe what like your biggest hurdles were kind of coming in as the president and dealing with, you know, with the acquisition? I mean, it was probably a lot to deal with, I would guess.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's been actually more complex than I was expecting, humbly. I'm saying that because I always looked at this business and I thought, hey, you know, this is very stable. But in fact, first of all, putting together two companies of equal size is a challenge. Now we've done that in a very peculiar moment with the end of COVID and all the aftermath of COVID with a hyperinflation, energy crisis, and some pressure on resources as well, which are very important assets for us to be able to deliver. Mm-hmm. So it's been a complex and interesting journey to summarize it. We've really prioritized, customer satisfaction. We really wanted to come from day one and make our customers comfortable about what we were doing.
Right.
So we try to explain that pressure. We try to really build strong partnership with our customer base, because we know we're all in this together. We need to help each other if we really want to be successful at the end as an industry. And so the focus has been really on that, on delivering as much as possible to the commitment despite all this pressure, and creating new partnerships that can work for the future. I realize the industry has gone through tough times before COVID and during COVID. Right. And so we're at a turning point now, really, where it's really about building the industry for today and for the needs of tomorrow, which are which is really important. You know, we see more demand tomorrow than we've ever seen in the past. Mm-hmm. So that's really been the focus, and we're continuing down this journey, obviously trying to find the best way to deliver what we have, get on the other side of this crisis, if I can call it this way.
Right.
And then get ready for the big wave that's coming, you know, our way in the region. There's obviously a lot of great projects that are being contemplated. There are funds for the first time, I think, in a long time, there are funds which are really coming to infrastructures in the US, in Canada, in Latin America. Governments are really motivated to make things happen because they see the importance of rail, transit, and modernizing freight. And so we are coming in at a very important moment where I think we're defining what the industry will be in the future. And that's really kind of the two things I've had on my agenda. One being stabilization and making sure we deliver, two, preparing for the future.
You know, what were some of the basics that helped you kind of achieve those goals, or at least, you know, set those goals on good footing to be able to move forward, you know, at this point?
Obviously, we have, with the combined strength of Alstom and Bombardier, we have a great position,
right,
and a great customer base. So we've tried to leverage that as much as possible across all the verticals that we have and that we're serving. So we've really spent time consolidating our rolling stock and components footprint and offering, which is well known. I think Alstom was well known for rolling stock and for signaling. But we also spent a lot of time strengthening the things that were very strong in the Bombardier world, namely the service activities. Few people know, Alstom and Bombardier was, and Alstom is today, the first private operator of trains in North America. Mm-hmm. So we've really, you know, consolidated that part of the business because we like it. You know, being an operator helps us understand what the industry needs as well.
Right.
And we so we've spent a lot of time on that. The airport business, and like I said, it's not well known, or not as well known as the rest. We actually supplied, run, and maintain systems for moving people in the airports in 16 major airports across the U.S.
Right.
That's a business that came from Bombardier, which we liked a lot. So we spent a lot of time. So it was really a matter of finding all these good offers and all these good businesses that the two companies together were creating, taking the best out of each of the companies, and making sure that the team is really focusing on delivering to customers.
Right. And you may have already kind of touched on a little bit of this point, but, you know, looking at sort of rebranding Alstom and you know, saying, you know, it's one company with Bombardier and now it's Alstom. Have you guys taken steps to kind of set yourselves apart differently from what you used to be? Or are you kind of relying on, you know, what the old brand was like? I mean, are you doing any rebranding on that end?
Yeah, so the good thing is that the two companies were very complementary. They had different strength, both in terms of offering and in terms of geography.
Right.
Geography, obviously, Bombardier very strong in Canada, very strong on the west coast of the U.S. Alstom was more working on the northeast corridor. Mm-hmm. And offering-wise, I mentioned Bombardier very strong on the service side, airport people movers. And on some signaling, which were very complementary to the ones we had in Alstom. So obviously, making sure the industry knows about the new Alstom as being really on top of all these businesses was an important phase. So we spent a lot of time with customers and myself and all my team really making sure everybody understands we're not here to sacrifice any part of the business. We want to leverage this great portfolio. And then obviously we've step-by-step rebranded the sites, manufacturing sites, the maintenance sites. We're not done yet, but we've almost completed that rebranding. And then the products, obviously, with our customers, when it makes sense, you know, making sure that the Alstom name is visible. When customers want it, that's been something that that we've discussed with them.
Yeah, and I understand you guys have some new products coming to market. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Sure, very exciting next few years around introducing new technologies to the region. So I'll start with the probably the most visible one, which is the Avelia Liberty. You know, this is this the replacement of the trains that are currently running on the Acela network between Boston and Washington, D.C.
Right.
We are currently manufacturing the new generation or the next generation. And these trains are being delivered as we speak and will come in service by the fall of 2023. Very excited about that because that's the best technology worldwide, you know, the state of art in terms of high speed, which we're bringing in the country. And that's made here. That's a Buy America compliant train that's going to be certified by the FRA. So we're super excited because this is really a step forward in terms of adoption of great technologies.
Yeah, that's great.
The other one that comes to mind, obviously we have signed an important contract for us with Metra in Chicago. Mm-hmm. For bi-level trains, which will be our first bi-level production here in the US. We've had some in Canada and obviously in Europe. And we're manufacturing that as well out of our Hornell plant in the upstate New York. And so that's an important one. Now, moving to Canada, there are two things which come to mind in terms of new programs which are really innovative. The first one is the REM. That's the greatest Montreal metro. This is a fully automated metro on around 60 kilometers.
Okay.
It's a very interesting project. Again, the first APA automatic metro of that magnitude, and that's going to change mobility in the greater Montreal region, which obviously the whole city is expecting. So it's going to start sometimes in the early 2023.
Okay.
The next one, which is really interesting to mention, is a recent one. And the interesting part is more of the contracting model and also the magnitude of the project. We won the RER, so the regional network expansion project in Toronto.
Okay.
It's called Go Expansion. That's really the complete program, and so we won that a few months back, and that's that's a huge project. It's about electrifying the complete region, which is not electrified today, doubling routes, implementing modern signaling to increase frequency, safety, reliability of the system. So it's a huge transformation for the Toronto area, which is the biggest city in Canada, as you know. Mm-hmm. And the interesting fact here is really that it's a new way of contracting this kind of huge monster projects. You know, it's a collaborative contracting, which has been a long process to redetermine the value proposition and the way we would actually operate in terms of bring the best benefits to the railroad and to the customers. But that's really a couple of things that come to mind. And obviously, we have a roadmap now for a number of technologies that we're using elsewhere in the world to make sure that we bring that when needed in the region.
And, I'm curious, with the multi-level cars, with the kind of contracting ideas, I mean, those are based off of other models that are worldwide. When you bring those models into North America, what are some of the hurdles on that? I mean, is it pretty simple? I mean, is it just kind of taking one and applying it with Buy America standards, in the case of the multi-level? Or is there different issues when you're contracting out that you experience in Canada, say, compared to outside of the North America?
So there's a generic challenge which relates to the maturity and to the strength of the local supply chain when you speak about localization. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Buy America, and I did as well. You know, our goal today is to manufacture all these strains with the maximum local impact in terms of, you know, economic impact. So it's really about supply chain localization. The supply chain has been relatively underdeveloped over the years because a lot of equipment came from overseas before Buy America became really important. Okay. So we're still in that journey of localization, which is obviously one of the big challenges and something that requires a lot of collaboration between the agencies and the industry. When it comes to new contracting, like the one I mentioned for Toronto, this obviously is a complete learning. It is being used in other places, Australia, UK, but that's the first time we see that in North America, at least in mobility.
Right.
And so there's a big learning curve in terms of how to find the right balance between risk and reward and the right models, which basically keep everybody focused on delivering the best. Metrolinx has been driving that process, has learned a lot. We have learned a lot, absolutely. And we think we're setting up something very strong to deliver a complex project, probably one of the most complex, with an optimized outcome.
So I understand with some of these new products, you guys are really focusing on sustainability and building those products. Can you talk a little bit about your efforts?
Yeah, so Alstom exists really as a sustainable company. We're a sustainable investment grade, and we are really all about replacing, more polluting ways of transportation by new ones, which are reducing emissions. Electrification is an important one, and we spoke about the Northeast Corridor in particular. Mm-hmm. We're also starting a journey as a group and as a region into zero emission for non-electrified territory, which is the bulk of our region here. And so we're starting to invest quite heavily on battery trains and on hydrogen trains. As a group, we are now the leader with the first train in revenue service in Germany, and we are, mm-hmm. Using that technological advancement to really bring that into the region. So we're going to be talking a lot more about that in the future, because we are convinced that this is going to help in many areas where electrification is not an option.
Great. Well, Michael, I appreciate you joining me. I know you're a busy person out there in Montreal. Thanks for taking the time to join Metrospectives.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.